Okay. In the previous chapters, the Alter Rebbe was explaining that why is the revelation of Mashiach dependent on what our action is in the time of Golus? And he explained because the ultimate purpose of the coming of Mashiach is to elevate the physical world to a stage of godliness, to make the world holy. That's why God created the world. And he said, therefore, when we do a physical mitzvah with the physical objects of the world, we're actually creating a vessel for the revelation of God to be able to be revealed. Okay, that's basically what we learned. So he says now, Vimkola now, based on everything that we learned before, Yuvin Heitev Psaka Locho Arucho B'Talmud U'Poskim, we'll understand the clear law which is decided in the Talmud and codifiers, the Hirur Lav Kedibu Domi. Thinking is not like speech. Which means, in Kara Krishma B'Machshavtei U'Balibe Levad, if somebody would read the Shema with their eyes, not with their mouth, or just think it, B'chol Koyach Kavanosei, with all his intent and might, but he doesn't verbally say it, Lo Yotze Yedei Chavosei, did not fulfill his obligation. Those mitzvahs that Hashem says you have to speak, like davening, by the way, is the same thing. You can't read the davening like Lahavdi read a novel. Shema, davening, benching. You can't I read it. You need actually to verbally articulate it and say it with your mouth. And if not, you could have had all the intent in the world, but you didn't fulfill your obligation. And it says, you have to read the Shema again. The same thing, benching. After eating, which is biblical, or shad brachas the rabbanon or any other rabbinic brachas, over tefillah and davening, you are not fulfilling your obligation if you just thought it. And yet, on the opposite side, imheiti bisvosov, what happens if you verbally did say the words, but you didn't have the intent? At least you didn't have a general intent. Yotze yidei chayvosa b'diavad. Possibly, you fulfilled your obligation. The only thing you need to repeat if you didn't have intent is the first pasuk of Shema and the first brach of the Amid of Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, that's the halacha. If somebody would say the Shema without they're thinking about who knows what, as long as they had intent when they said the first pasuk of Shema and the first brach of the Shemoneh Esrei of the Amid, they knew what they were saying, they fulfill their obligation. So why is it that if you have a lot of kavana with the heart, but you didn't say the words, you didn't fulfill your obligation? And if you said the words without the kavana, without the intent, you did fulfill your obligation. Why is that? So he says, "Gris b'gmara, akam mitzvahs kavan mikam eilach mitzvahs kri." Okay, v'hainu. He says like this. The neshama itself, the soul of the Jew, does not need to be rectified by doing mitzvahs. And this, we learned this in different places. Let me just sum it up because it is Chassidus 101, basically. The neshama of a Jew is part of God. Chelek alakami mal. It's mamish a part of God. So Chassidus asks a question in more question. This question is asked more than probably any other question in Chassidus. If the neshama is a part of God, why in the world does God send the neshama into a physical body? Lama yarda haneshama la'ilam hazeh. The famous question. Why did God send the neshama into this world? Let the neshama stay up there in Gan Eden, in paradise, it's basking in godliness, it's holy. Why in the world does the neshama come down into the world? The neshama is perfect, the neshama is part of God. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining here and all over Chassidus, the neshama itself doesn't come down for itself. Neshama does not need to be fixed and refined by doing mitzvahs, because the neshama is perfect. What is the purpose of the neshama's descent into the body? To refine the physical body and the animal soul. Those need to be rectified and refined and purified. Therefore, what is the purpose of the neshama's coming into the world? It's not for the neshama itself. Granted, by fixing the body and rectifying the body, the neshama goes to a place greater than it was before. But the neshama is perfect whether it does it or not. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe is explaining over here why it's so important to physically speak or to physically do the action. In other words, like this. Just like people like new things, right? Same old boring stuff is boring. People get excited when new things happen. We gave many times the analogy Chassidus gives. It's called a tzipra bedaberes. It's a parrot, a parakeet. A parrot is a bird that talks. People spend a lot of money on a parrot because they want to hear it speak. When a parrot speaks, everybody shh. You know, you have to leave it to the parrot to talk. If you stop to think for a second, people talk much better than a bird does. Even if the bird has an extensive language, people can still talk much better than the bird. Yeah, when people talk, you say to the person, be quiet. When the bird talks, everybody wants to listen. Why? So Chassidus explains it very simple. That people talk, that's normal. That's routine. So you don't get excited from routine. You get excited of out of the routine. That a bird talks, that's something unique. It's like in a similar thing, people go on vacation. Yeah? If you think about it, it's so much, in Yiddish it's called bakfem, it's so much easier at home. You have to pack, especially if you're going with kids, you have to pack, and you go to a hotel, it's still not as good as your house, and you don't have what to eat, and yet people die to go on vacation. Yeah? Staying home is much more convenient and cheaper. The answer is because this is routine and this isn't. And people like things which are not routine. Hashem also likes, kaviyachol, things that are not routine. And therefore, Chassidus explains what's the difference between a tzaddik and a baal tshuva. That Hashem, the Rambam brings down, Hashem likes a baal tshuva better than a tzaddik. Why? So the Rambam explains this concept. That a tzaddik is good, it's expected. That a person who sinned and came back, that's something new. That's a uniqueness that the tzaddik doesn't have because the tzaddik is always good. He's a goody-goody. This is the baddie becoming a goody-goody. It's a much better pleasure by Hashem than it is. So Chassidus explains it's the same thing with the neshama coming down into the body. The neshama in Gan Eden is like a tzaddik level. It's perfect. Everything's great. But Hashem says, you know what? That's boring. Let's go down into a body. Let's make the body, which is coarse and unrefined and distant from Hashem, let's refine the body to make it closer to Hashem. So therefore, the concept, it says in Chassidus, of the neshama coming into the body is supposed to be the concept of baal tshuva. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe is explaining over here like this. Now that we understood why the physical world needs to be made as a vessel towards Mashiach, okay, now we can understand why it's not enough to think Shema, to think benching, to think davening, you need actually to verbally say it. And he says, why? Because the neshama, the non-physical, the spiritual, doesn't need to be refined. What needs to be refined? The physical. When you verbally say something, that's action. When you actually do something, that's action. So what are you accomplishing by that? You're actually purifying the world and making the world a vessel for godliness. And just to think it, that's more soul level than actually being measured in a physical sense. And he says like this, V'hainu, fourth line from the top, Mishim shanesh shama ein etzricho tikkun la'atma b'mitzvahs. The neshama doesn't become better or need to become better by doing mitzvahs. The neshama is a part of God. What is the purpose of the neshama coming down? Laham shich erd, to bring down a revelation of godliness through a mitzvah. L'saki nefesh achiyunis v'aguf, to rectify the animal soul and the body. Aydei eis yisadibur, through the letters of speech. Sha'nefesh medaberes, that the soul speaks through the mouth. In Hei Mitzor Sepen, the five formations of speech, you know, the stomach and the throat and the lips and the teeth and so on. V'chein b'mitzvahs ma'isiyas, the same thing in action mitzvahs. Sha'nefesh oisa, that the nefesh does, b'shad evori aguf, with all the other limbs of the body. And you have, by the way, a physical analogy of this. If a spouse will tell their spouse, listen, I love you very, very much, but they don't do anything for them. Okay? That is, as we all know, worthless. Right? Why is it worthless? Because in order for it to come down, it has to come down in a physical, tangible way that you prove the love. Love is proven, whether it's parents to children, friends to friends, whatever it is. Any relationship is not proven by a heart. You know, many Jews will tell you, we said this many times, I'm a Jew in my heart. You know, cardiac Jew, you call them. They're a Jew in the heart, I feel God in my heart, and I feel everything, but I'm not interested in doing mitzvahs. That's baba mitzvahs. That's foolishness. Because tell that to your spouse, I love you very much, but I'm not going to do anything for you. It's worthless. Where does true love show itself? When it comes into the physical world. Into physical sense. And by the way, it's another interesting thing. The real, and this is connected to Torah Mitzvahs too, the real showing love is not on the big days, you know, and the anniversaries and the birthdays and all that. It's the day-to-day practical living is where you see the true love of the person. You can have somebody that will buy their spouse a very expensive gift, or for Father's Day they'll buy their father a very expensive present, whatever, and the rest of the year they spit them in the face. That's contradictory. The neshama comes into the body to rectify and fix the body, to make the body godly. What?
You said the neshama is perfect before it goes into the body.
Right.
Then what's the purpose of the animal?
No, when it comes down into the body.
Yeah, but...
No, it's like this. The neshama is perfect. Okay, then it comes into the body. Along the way, depends who, but some people sin. Okay? Now the neshama became blemished. To cleanse the blemish of the neshama that it got by being down here, right, is for it to be able to go higher than it was in Gan Eden, needs to get cleansed from the blemish that it got in this world. And it says that even if you do one mitzvah, the Baal Shem Tov says, it's an ayam yam that Rebbe brings down from the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov said, it's worth for a neshama to come into the world for 70 or 80 years just to do one favor to another person. Meaning the elevation that is going to get by doing one favor, even though along the way it's sinned and is going to have to get cleansed for it. But the Gemara says about Acher, it's worth for Acher, who's Rabbi Meir's Rebbe and he became an Apikadus, to go through all the torture of hell and Gehenim and purgatory, whatever you want to call it, that he should come to the world to come. So the neshama is perfect by itself. It comes into the body by sinning, it gets blemished. It also does good. For that good, it fixes the body and elevates itself to a place greater than it was before. but it needs to get cleansed for the evil that it did in this world. But the neshama itself is perfect. And even that, to take even a step further, what gets blemished in the neshama? It's not the essence of the neshama, the yechidah shebenefesh, the pintalid, the nukudata yahadut, whatever you want to call it, the essence of the Jew, that never gets blemished. What gets blemished when the neshama comes into the body and sins is its intellect, if it's used the wrong way, its emotions, its thought, speech, and action. Those get dirty. It's a funny word, dirty. It gets impure, and it needs to be cleansed. But the essence of the neshama is never impure. Even at the time of the sin, the essence of the neshama is still connected with God. That can never become impure. So sometimes the neshama comes into the body, it becomes impure, and that's the risk, by the way. You know, sometimes when you have to come into the world to better the world, you're going to get, like a doctor sometimes is going to have to treat patients, he might get sick from it. But that's what he does anyway. Because that is the ultimate purpose. But the neshama, before it comes into the body, is in a very, very high level. It's pure. But the neshama comes down to fix the body. And to make the physical body pure and holy, and not only the physical body, the physical objects that we do the mitzvah with also become holy by us doing the mitzvah. So he says, so then why do you need intent? Because do mitzvahs without any intent. So he says like this, nevertheless, Amru Chazal tell us, Tfila ishar beracha b'lei kavana, davening, or brachas without intent, is kaguf b'lei neshama. It's like a body without a soul. In other words, everything in this world, by the way, has a body and a soul. Everything is body and soul. When you do a mitzvah, and the same thing we learned when discussing about tshuva, even when you do an aveda, you create a body and a soul of a sin. When you do a mitzvah, there's two parts. Let's say you light Shabbos candles, you daven, you learn, whatever the mitzvah is. There's the physical aspect of the mitzvah, which is called the body of the mitzvah. But then you need the soul of the mitzvah. What is the soul of the mitzvah? That's the intent of the mitzvah. The intent, the kavanah, that is the soul of the mitzvah. But the body of the mitzvah, that's the action. So let's say a man will put on tefillin, okay, without any intent whatsoever, just habit, he's 3/4 asleep, because they woke up early to go to shul, and they're coming to shul, they're 3/4 asleep, in their sleep, they're putting on the tefillin, because sometimes they don't even remember later on if they put on tefillin or not. You know, Bukhal, you ever find, I don't remember, did I bench, didn't I bench? Did I do this, did I do... I mean, if you really did it right, you would remember if you did it or not, right? So what happens? You have, the body of the mitzvah is done, but you don't have the wings of the mitzvah. And later in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says a remarkable analogy of a bird. A bird is the body of the bird, and then you have the wings. Okay? Halachically, if you clip the wings of a bird, it's still a kosher bird. You can shecht it and eat it. It's not like something dangerously ill with the bird. The bird can live without wings. But what do the wings accomplish? It flies up. Without the wings, it doesn't fly. Not only that, the bird needs two wings to fly. A bird can't fly with one wing. Okay? The same thing it says in Chassidus, the mitzvah that you do, that's the body of the mitzvah. You want to put life into the mitzvah to make it fly up, you need the right wing and the left wing. Avas Hashem, love and fear. When you do a mitzvah with love and fear, so then you have the physical mitzvah plus the wings that make the bird up. If you did the mitzvah without intent, you still did the mitzvah. But the mitzvah doesn't fly up. If you have a wing without the bird, that's for sure worthless. If you have the kavana, like if somebody would have a pair of tefillin on the table, okay, or you're about to light the Shabbos candles, and you go into all the Kabbalistic meanings of lighting Shabbos candles, yeah? But you don't light the candles, you didn't get the mitzvah. The question, but you had such spiritual lofty thoughts. You know what they say? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. You can have all the good intentions you want. If you didn't do it, you didn't do it. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe says, even though you do it, that's the primary goal, but you still are lacking if you don't have the enthusiasm, the intent of the mitzvah. You need the wings of the mitzvah to make the bird go up. You need the soul of the mitzvah. And that is the intent of the mitzvah. So ultimately, if you want to do a mitzvah right, you need body and soul. The main thing, he says, is the body of the mitzvah. That's what really counts. But it's good to have the love and fear, because then the mitzvah goes upward. Then it goes to where it has to do. And he says, Pirish, Kimei shekol abrim shebe'ilim hazeh, just like all the creations of this world, sheyesh lam guf and neshama, that they have a body and a soul, sheim nefesh kol chai, which is the soul of every living thing, v'ruach kol besar ish, and the spirit of every human, v'nishmas kol asher ruach chayim ba'apov, and any animal, like he says, that has a life of Hashem in it, mikol bali chayim, from all the animals, and Hashem mechayes kulam, Hashem makes him exist, makes him live, u'mahava isam, and makes him exist, Meyayin liyesh tamid, from nothing into something. He's explaining over here, very in passing, what is the life of a stone? A stone has also a life in it. What is the life of a stone? The words, the power of God that keeps the stone existing from nothing into something. There's the power of God in the stone, because if God's power would leave the stone would disappear. Like we learned many times, not going into this thing. Parenthetically, the Rebbe says that everything in the world has a soul. Animals have a soul. Inanimate has a soul. People have a soul. And he says this, he's saying now, afilu avonim va'ofa adamim mamash, even stones and dirt of inanimate, yesh be'er v'chayis mimenu yizborech, have this life from God, that it shouldn't become nothing like it was before creation. He says, nevertheless, the soul, he says, of the person is greater, and therefore you need to reveal the soul of the mitzvah, the intent of the mitzvah, in order to have a perfect mitzvah. And therefore, it's important not only to do a mitzvah, but to understand why we're doing the mitzvah and what I'm accomplishing by doing the mitzvah. We mentioned this many times. It's remarkable that you have, and by the way, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, and you want to transmit Yiddishkeit from generation to generation, the cold-blooded, cold mitzvah will never be transmitted properly. If you don't show the enthusiasm and the excitement and the fervor of doing a mitzvah, your kids are not going to follow. And it's very interesting, you find the Jews from Europe, okay? Many of them are not even Shomer Shabbos. Many of them are today, you know, then after the war, for whatever reason, they became non-Shomer Shabbos. But if you ever hear them speak about the shtetl, if you ever speak about Pesach and Rosh Hashanah, or generally speak about the mitzvahs, the way it was done in the shtetl, they live with it. They're alive. They might not even be religious, but when they talk about the mitzvahs, they come alive. And then you can have, pardon the expression, a modern Orthodox Jew who Shomer Shabbos and puts on tefillin, and does everything, but it's so cold, there's no enthusiasm, excitement, feeling in it at all. So what happens? For the next generation, one or two things happen, by the way. Either the kids become completely irreligious, or they go, most of them, if they go to Israel, so in Israel they get a little bit of excitement, enthusiasm about the mitzvah, so they become more religious than the parents. It's very interesting. If you look in today's modern Orthodox world, the kids of the modern Orthodox people either become more religious or less religious. There's no status quo there. There isn't. Look around. You'll see either they're becoming more religious or they're becoming, not, I'm not knocking them, Central Judaism. But reality is reality. Why is it? Because the coldness that they do mitzvahs with are not transmitted. So if you just leave it as it is, the kids will not continue. Why should I do it? There's no meaning in it. When you put meaning and excitement and the kids see the parents are excited about it and there's enthusiasm about it, that's not necessarily what he means here, the kavanah. Kavanah means the intent of doing the mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done. But I'm saying when you put feeling into the mitzvah, that's transmitted into the next generation.
So you're saying that the children of the modern Orthodox are becoming either more...
This is not, I'm saying, is a fact. You look around.
Just look at your friends. Look at
they're either becoming more religious, mm-hmm. most of the time because they go to yeshiva, and over there they get the enthusiasm, the feeling of it, or they drop it.
But there's also this whole group of people that just are traditional, even if they marry out. Like Sephardim, everybody I know, it's just happy... They're keeping a lot of stuff that you would think they wouldn't be.
When you say marrying out, you mean they marry Ashkenazic?
No.
Oh, no, you don't mean that. Okay.
That's marrying it.
Oh, marrying it.
I know.
What?
What do you think about converts, Orthodox converts during this generation? What do you think about that? They're more enthusiastic than before?
They're more enthusiastic because they came to this on their own. They didn't have to. Okay? A person who's a Baal Tshuva even, and definitely when it comes to a convert, right? A Baal Tshuva who wants... No, I'll tell you something. You ever... There's a big difference teaching kids in school or teaching adults that come to a class. Okay? When kids are in school, you're busy 95% of the time telling them, disciplining them. Okay? Because the kids don't want to be there. They're forced to be there, okay? So half the time you're telling them you're forced and they're not interested, okay? If an adult's not interested in the class, they're not going to come, okay? So if they're coming, it's because they want to be there. It's not like kids in the school, right? A Baal Tshuva wasn't raised religious and now wants to become religious, that's because they want to be religious, right? I shouldn't say this, but a lot of people that are born religious would rather not be born religious. No, and definitely when it comes to a non-Jew becoming a Jew, that's even more. So, of course, the enthusiasm is more. And like we said, that's why a Baal Tshuva, in that respect, is greater than a Tzaddik. Because they want it, and they're looking for it, and they're yearning it. So it's a much different level. Of course it is. Okay.